Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm so happy to be here tonight. It feels like a long time since April 1st. I have been in Thailand. I was home a day, went to Kansas City for a week, came back, was home 2 weeks, went to Germany, came back, and was 2.5 weeks and went to Montana. And we just got home last Thursday. And I'm a bit, my head's not caught up with me yet. But I am so, it's good to be home. It's good to be back home. All those places are wonderful. And a couple of them I'd move to in a heartbeat if the Lord was on it. But right now this is home. And I love you, all of you. I've missed you. I want to actually talk tonight. The worship was perfect. The Lord really has just last couple days laid on my heart to talk about trials and holding our peace in the midst of a trial. Too often we don't know what to do in the midst of a trial. The trial hits us, and bad things come. And when that happens several times throughout, I've lived a long time now, and I find that trials come. Some, and they're at different levels, aren't they? Some are real intense, and some are minor. Some are affect you emotionally, some affect circumstances. All those trials, though, in the eyes of God, he has a promise to you. And that promise is that he will uphold you in the trial. He will cause it to work out for your good. So I just want to, you know, that doesn't seem logical, because trials, just think of Job for instance. Job really had a trial. The Bible says that he was the most righteous man in all the world, not just the earth, not just in whatever little part of the country he was in, or what his city says, the most righteous man in all the world. And so Job was very given to the practice and the things of obedience to God. But when God allowed him to be severely tested, and with someone like Job, you have to consider that he is a very righteous man. He knows the ways of God, and that it took a severe trial in order to bring out the heart issue in Job, which was self-righteousness. And those trials, once he confessed that, God turned that around and doubly blessed him, restored everything. But the trial for Job was meant to expose an issue of the heart that was those issues of the heart actually separate us from the Lord. They cause a separation, because Job was walking in his self-sufficiency rather than his God dependency, right? We have a tendency to want to do the same thing. Just this afternoon, I was before the Lord, and as usual, I didn't exactly know what I was going to talk about. And I'm making a habit or a practice of paying attention to my subconscious thoughts, which I've talked to you a lot about. Those of you that have heard me talk about, I'm all about what the mind is thinking, because what you think, you empower. And to be aware of our subconscious thoughts and the rumblings in my thought life, I felt this I am a failure. In all my travels, they've been in intense going. I've had only those little bits of time that I've been back home have I been able to spend the amount of time with God that I normally do or in the Word, because I was so busy. And so I felt like I had let the Lord down. I've let me down. I'm a failure. I haven't been in the Word. And who am I to get up then and teach? And this little hamster wheel started going around in my head. And once I caught it, I started to just repent. And immediately I heard the Lord say, I am stripping you of your self-sufficiency. Okay. As long as I'm in the Word daily, spending that daily time, which we should, daily time with the Lord, I'm soaking, and I'm spending lots of time. And but without that, I feel like I'm not with it. I'm not able then to speak, or I'm not. And instead of trusting what God's put in me already from all those soaking sessions, right? I was feeling like the doing was my sufficiency. Like if I can be obedient, or, you know, whatever I was feeling there, that I had to do that before I could do this. Now, there's a level of that that's true. I need to be in the Word. I need to be before God. I need to spend that time. But I have done that for years now. And so a couple of weeks of being busy is not going to destroy all that, right? That truth and belief and constant awareness of God is still in me. And so I have to let go of a religious thought that I have to perform all my functions that I think I need to do before I'm able to do the next thing. So self-sufficiency, what does that look like to you? Are you okay if plans don't go according to your plans? Are you one that has to have a plan for your life all sit out there? And that makes that, of course, makes us comfortable, because we know the plan, right? But what's it feel like when you don't know the plan, or a roadblock comes up, or something happens that totally turns your plan upside down? Then what are we thinking? So I just want to have them show a little clip. At the end of our trip, this happened last Monday. Some of you have seen it on Facebook, but you've not seen the video. I'm speaking in the video, and it's a little intense. So I just want you to watch the clip. We are in a hailstorm, and I've never seen anything like this, ever. Our car is being destroyed. And I'm not liking this at all. Appreciate prayers. We are in. Okay. So it really did destroy our car. $25,000 worth of damage. And we're in it, and I'm driving. There I had pulled off. But the only thing protecting our heads, because it took out our sunroof quite early, is the cloth. Fortunately, we had the cloth shield drawn. So the cloth, so every time one of those big guys, Chris was paying more attention to the size than I was. When I went there, the glass sprayed in my face from the windshield. And glass was going down my back every time one would hit the cloth. And it was leaking out the sides then of the cloth and down my back. And That's the most upset I got. And Chris, he's got a couple of videos, and he's calmly talking about the storm. And we knew at any moment, because that front windshield was starting to cave in. They make those a bit more durable. The back one was already out. The top was out. So we're watching our car that we've had about 2 months be completely annihilated. And we're sitting there going, wow. Okay, I'm marking this off the don't ever want to do bucket list. Been there, done that. Okay, so we're going to move on. And it honestly, so we had 45 miles to drive then to Scotts Bluff, which was the next biggest town that had a body shop that could take our, so now our car is completely exposed. And we didn't realize at that time the amount of damage, because we didn't get outside and look because we didn't want to get hit. And so we called ahead, and they said they would wait on us because they were ready to close, and they did. And we pulled it into their shop and got out, and then it was like, oh, my goodness. And Chris has more pictures if you want to see. It looks like somebody went around with a baseball bat and beat our car to smithereens. But we were in a tornado, actually, and didn't know it. We were on the edge of a tornado. And so we got there and unloaded what we thought we would need for the night, and they locked our car up and took us to the hotel. When we got to the hotel, we had a tornado warning. And that's when we realized, that's when they told us the direction it was coming from, and we realized we were in the tornado. So could you show that picture? That's how afraid we were. And we're sitting in the hallway of the hotel with everybody else, and we're having a great time. And so, you know, we did not feel, it was intense, and we weren't liking it, as you could tell from I was astonished that those kinds of things could come out of the sky. But so here's the thing, we had felt blessed to have that car. We really didn't take it for granted. We felt like it was a blessing, and then it just got destroyed with us in it. And so how did we think about that? How did we think about it? I'll tell you how I thought about it. We weren't touched. We could have been, but we weren't touched. And the car is a thing. And thank goodness for good insurance, because it's completely covered. So the blessing is still there. The car isn't what blessed us. It's life. It's protection. It's a heart response to God that, thank you, Papa, you protected us. Thank you that little thin piece of cloth held with these big, you know, and glass flying everywhere, and we're like, huh. So, and I was sitting there during the time thinking, and as I was driving, going, shouldn't I be more upset than this? You know, like, this is just, I know I walk in a lot of peace, but shouldn't this be more upsetting? I couldn't drum it up. So today, even when I got a hold of feeling of unworthy, and failure. Thank you. And I commanded that to go, because I know I've been healed of that. As soon as I recognized that I was holding that, I commanded it to go in Jesus' name, and it did. I couldn't even pull it back, because I know what God's put in me. Now, I'm not going to make it a habit of not spending time with him. But those few weeks, he taught me a lesson. Taught me a big lesson that it's not my self-sufficiency that's going to carry me through what he's called me to do. That it's going to cause me to lean ever more heavily on him. because he's all sufficient. And I don't need to, his grace will cover any failures or flaws or missed moments with him that I would have, because I've devoted my the last many years to spending a lot of time with God and giving myself to him. So a few weeks of busyness isn't going to hinder that, because now I'm home and I stepped right back into it today. So in James 2 through 8. James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. So this is the attitude that we're supposed to have. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. You consider it joy, or do you get angry at God? We could have chosen to get angry at God. So what would your response be to something like that? Or what's it been? You've all had trials. You've all had struggles. How do you feel about them in that moment? Or shortly after? In the moment, you know, some of us are going to freak out. I'm not a real emotional person anyway. And so, I was certainly in the past would have gotten a little more upset than that. So how do you think in the middle of a trial is everything? Consider it joy. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance helps you or keeps you in for the long haul. Every single person here, I don't care if you're 90, like I almost am, or if you're 9, you have a lifetime ahead of you, the rest of your life ahead of you. And how are you going to move forward? You want to move forward with endurance. Because if every trial that we go through shakes us, if we get mad at God every time, if we get mad at ourselves, if we start this downward spiral that goes nowhere, self-defeat or anger towards others, or the, you know, all this anger and bitterness, resentment will keep you in your trial the rest of your life. It'll keep you from peace. But it's a test. A trial is a test. So Chris and I had a choice on how would we react right there. And because of healing, because of the way that God, we are with the Lord, the natural thing that came out was basically peace. I didn't have to drum it up. Right? You have that same ability in you. Because the God of peace lives in you. It just depends on how much you believe it. How much are you willing to give him so that you can walk in that peace? We want to justify ourselves in a trial. We could have said, God, we worked hard for that car. We Chris worked hard for that. He put a lot into our business. We could have started justifying ourselves. And that would have been a normal response, right? To start doing something like that. But where would that have taken us? Farther and farther from peace. So, the trial shakes you a little bit. It tests you. Where are you at? What are you thinking? It's meant to expose wrong thinking so that you can embrace right thinking and have endurance for the long haul. God means it for your good. When he exposed Job, he exposed something in Job that self-righteousness would have kept him self-sufficient rather than God's sufficient. That self-sufficiency. It was also self-elevation. So he was elevating himself, not above God, but he was elevating himself. I'm a good guy. Kept saying, I'm right, but I'm righteous. I'm right. And even God said he was. But when you say that when he had this attitude of he started getting this self-justifying going on, and he forgot to justify God in it. In our trial, we should be able to say, God is good. In the middle of a trial. And we should be able to say it from the heart in a place of peace. He's good. He's good. In your trial, he's good. He has a promise to you that he will work it out for your good. Let endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. The Lord wants, he knows that we live in a very, very fleshy, sinful, shaken world. He has to build endurance in his people, or the first trial or persecution that comes our way, we're going to fall. We're going to slide back. We're going to fumble. We're going to struggle to walk through it and stand tall and confident in who God is, that he's good. So those trials you want to embrace, and you want to thank God for them. You want to thank God for them. They will expose where you're at, what you're thinking. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or a circumstance. Any of you ever feel like, oh my word, I don't even know how to think here. I've got to move forward with decisions. I don't even know how to move even out of this trial. I don't know the decisions. That's kind of where we've been. We're like, okay, we're in a unique situation where we're stepping into retirement financially. And we just lost a car, and we have not had income since last September, regular income. And it's been really fun because God's provided. And so in that, so we have a lot of decisions to make. What kind of, so we still need income. And so how is, what's Chris going to do to bring income in? Are we going to do truck driving or go deliver travel trailers? Or there's lots of options out there. And what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? So the whole trip, we've been talking, trusting God to give the answer. But we're talking it through. And Chris said something profound today. He goes, okay, so we finally decided on what vehicle to move forward with. Phew. We're going to get another Jeep. But in that, he's like, now, I asked a question. I'm not sure what it was, but I said, what are we going to do about this now? And he goes, we're going to take one step forward and see how that feels. And the idea is then we're going to take another step when we get that one done. So right here it says, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide you through a decision or a circumstance, he is to ask our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. If you feel you lack wisdom, so you must ask. You must ask, believing. It says, but he must believe, he must ask, verse 6, he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect he will receive anything at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all of his ways, everything he feels, thinks, or decides. When we feel like we need wisdom, we have to ask in faith, knowing that God will give it to you and not doubt. So our struggle to settle into the decision that we feel is God, that struggle wants to make us feel insecure. And we start doubting which way to go, which way to go. We find, Chris and I have found, that if we wait on the Lord, do a lot of talking it through, and wait on the Lord and begin to take a step, he truly does guide and give that wisdom when it's at that moment that it's needed. He is faithful to his word, and he will not give wisdom if you ask believing. It's our doubting. God can't answer a doubt because you haven't made up your mind what you're going to believe. If I walk in doubt all the time, I'm going to actually use doubt. The benefit of doubt in a flesh way is that I don't have to make a decision. It keeps me from making the wrong one if I hold on to doubt. So I'm going to use it to keep me from making a decision, then I'm not responsible for it. Does that make sense? So you have to let go of doubt. Have to break agreement with it so that you can walk in confidence, asking God for wisdom, knowing that he's going to give it. And when he gives wisdom, you're going to have that right answer when you need it. There's so much that could be said about this, but I want to skip over to Philippians chapter 4. Lord talks a lot about what you dwell on, what you think about. If you're always thinking in negativity, you're going to be expecting negativity. So he says, focus on me. Focus on peace, joy. Focus on the things of God, giving it, training your mind to think in a kingdom, with a kingdom thought. That actually will when you think in negativity and you stay in that place a long time, your brain actually becomes physically wired for negativity. And then not only do you have a habit, now you have a default. Your default is physically set in place that you're going to think in a negative mindset. But thank you, Jesus, that can be turned around. And you can train your mind to think and focus on positive things. That's why God says, dwell on me. Dwell on my goodness. Meditate on my word. So that you're full of righteousness. You become more and more aware of righteousness and holiness and what that means. And your mind begins to be rewired then for good. Good thoughts. So you can actually rewire your mind. In Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice always. Not just when your car's not in a hailstorm. Rejoice in the hailstorm. In the hailstorm. In the trial, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, anxious for nothing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what happened in that storm for us, is that the peace of God guarded our heart and our mind so that we did not turn to anger. We did not turn to frustration or hopelessness or defeat or, oh my goodness, this is awful, despair. And that could have been more serious than it was. If that cloth would have given through and the front window go out, we would have been completely exposed, right? And those, that size can kill a person. I was very aware of that, but I wasn't worried about it. I expected the cloth to hold. And if it didn't, I just get to see Jesus. It was a win-win, you know? And so, I mean, honestly, so how you think about it in that moment, you're either empowering God in it to keep you in peace, or you're empowering the enemy to keep you distraught. You hold the key, and you decide which one you're going to give power to. So what you focus on, you empower in the middle of that storm. So in the middle of your trials, and I know there's probably not one person in here that either hasn't just come through one or is getting into one or is in one. Because that's just the way this world goes around, right? And they're to varying degrees. Some are minor, easy breezy, but some are very, very difficult. Yeah, that's not the first hard one we've been through. But every time I go through a trial like that, I am just even more confident in God's ability to get me through that trial with my protecting my mind and my heart. It's amazing. So he tells you how, number six, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So thank you, Jesus, that you spared us with our mind and our heart covered. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. It's beyond your comprehension. That's why I was thinking, shouldn't I be upset? Shouldn't I, something wrong with me? No, this feels good. So it will guard your heart and your mind. That's a promise. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When we fill our mind with good thoughts, just like he says, all those things that he says to focus on, You will walk in an expectation of good and not bad. If you're filling your mind with negativity, with sad thoughts, bad thoughts, angry thoughts, everything that is not the Lord, that doesn't bring peace, every thought that is not peaceful will cause you to expect bad. You'll start to expect sorrow. You'll start to expect a bad thing. You'll start to, the next trial, you're going to dread the next thing, but you're expecting it. So you're going to empower. Your thought life is powerful. So what you think of, what you think, what you're dwelling on, you empower and you draw it to you. So when you're thinking good thoughts, God-centered thoughts, blessing, hope, and peace, and joy, and love, and you're intentionally pursuing those things, your mind in the trial is going to stay focused there. And you're going to come out on the other side of that trial in hope, not despair. Does that make sense? You're going to stand in hope. Now, I don't care. I know some trials are pretty bad. There's still hope. There is not a trial bigger than the hope of Christ. The power of Christ to restore and redeem and raise you up in victory is far greater than any scheme of the enemy to bring you down and destroy you. You're the one that decides which one is going to have his way with you. So be careful what you're thinking, empowering what your thought life is. I probably will be speaking about this till the day I die, because it's so powerful. I've got the revelation, and I'm pursuing a purpose-filled thought life that is intentionally pursuing peace. So we couldn't make those pictures up, and you saw me at my worst moment. It didn't get worse than that, of me going, oh. That was, the glass was coming in my face. I didn't expect that. That took me by surprise. And then I was over it. It's awesome. God is amazing. Let him be amazing in you. Believe that. Believe that he is so amazing. He's so good. And you're his house. What do you believe about him? Do you believe he's good? Do you believe he's a good father? Do you believe he's going to cause you to stand on your feet and have victory over every single trial you're in? Everything that you feel you have has a grip on you, every stronghold, God has an answer for it. He has victory over the darkness. Jesus already gave us power over the enemy. And when we agree with him in despair or anger, all of those negative thoughts are agreeing with what the enemy is saying. When we agree with him, we empower him to destroy us. But when we turn that, say no to that, you're a liar and a thief, and you focus on the Lord, you don't even have to be concerned about what the demonic are doing. I give them little thought. Little. And you stay focused on God and his goodness and grace and love and mercy for you. Even when you're going through that hard trial, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of gushy feelings right there. Just wait it out and believe for it. And trust him right there. And that trial will be a minute. And the sunshine's going to come out. I mean, the difference between those two pictures was about 20 minutes. Is that right? About 20, 25 minutes. An hour? Oh, that's right. We were 45 minutes from Scott's Bluff. And we couldn't drive real fast. We were a little, had storm watchers all over the road. And we were like, what are you watching? We didn't know there was a tornado right there. And they didn't see us. We're a wreck, and they didn't even see us. But it was very interesting. But so an hour between the two pictures. So God's peace was just right there. So I feel like the Lord wants to give you peace tonight. Anything that is robbing you of peace. If you feel like you're in a trial, you're struggling to stand up in it, you're struggling with faith, I don't care what it is, what's holding you back or keeping you down or keeping you feeling like you're not going to ever get out of this, or it's got you, or the trials sometimes feel stronger than we are. Well, it is. On your own strength. But in God's sufficiency, there's not a trial that can bring you down. So, I just want to open up the altar. Is there anybody that does keys here? Keyboard? No? All right. We're just going to open up the altar. And I'd like to invite you to come forward. And if you're feeling like you're not in peace, If you're struggling with having no peace, if you're struggling in a place of obtaining peace, if you feel like peace is way out there but you've got this turmoil going inside, or there's hopelessness or failures or any negative thoughts that you're having, just want to invite you to come forward, and we want to pray with you. And y'all in peace, did that breathe? deep breath, just let it all out. That's awesome. That'd be awesome. I'd also like to pray for physical bodies. We always want to do that. Give place for the Lord to bring healing. This is healing night. And we believe for physical healing. But God, that's a trial that I've and many of you have walked in and struggled with. And the Lord is an awesome healer. So also want to just invite you just to stand right now. If you have something physical that is on your body that you want prayer for, just stand. And, and Chris feels like he has a word of knowledge, so I'm just going to let him call that out.
Does anybody have an issue with their liver? I just feel that there's something there that the Lord wants to address and clean up. So if that's you, please come forward.
Okay, when the Lord gives someone a word of knowledge, that means he's on it and wanting to heal. So those of you that are standing, I want people to get around you and start praying for healing. That's all right. It's all right. So just start praying for healing for these people. Don't be shy. If you'd like someone to pray with you in addition, just come on forward. Get some prayer going in this place. Pray believing. Command disease off that person. Don't ask it politely. You command it to go. want to thank you all for coming out tonight. And I just want to pray over you that the God of peace would hold you. So, Papa, I lift up every person here. And as they go out, Lord, I thank you for your peace. I ask that you hold it in their hearts and help them to grasp the reality that lives within them, that the eagerness of which you have in your heart to give us your peace. You're generous, God, with your peace. We love you. And I just bless you going in Jesus' name.